Hey, Chad. Call the meeting to order. Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, okay. What's my first name? Because that would be way too hard. Okay. You sent a lot of stuff out. Okay, so the first thing is going to be our community, or our reports and communication, our superintendent update.
Okay, so I have a few things to update you on. You've probably seen this on the news, but Yuba County is one of three counties in the state that is staying on the red tier. Of course, the tier system is over on June 15th, so I guess we never get out of red. I don't know how that works. The vaccine clinic that we held yesterday, we didn't hold it. We hosted for the county to hold here at Bear River. It went well. I don't know how many people actually came in. At one point, when I talked to Nurse Angela, it was 16 at that point, so I don't know what the total was. We're holding two more first shot Pfizer or single shot J&J, so that'd be next Wednesday and the Wednesday after, and then there'll be three more after that, which will be the second shot Pfizer or the single shot J&J. So for the next five Wednesdays at Bear River, 12:30 to 6. Next Wednesday, it'll be in the gym. And then from that point forward, it'll be in the library because the gym will be under, gym floor will be under construction. Eighth grade promotion ceremony is tomorrow, 8:30, 10:30, 12:30. I sent out an email earlier. I don't know if you guys saw that. So if that works for everybody, that's what I told Andrew we would probably be doing. Did you see that, Rana, the email? Okay, everybody good with that? Perfect. All right, I wanted to report, Angela let me know that this year we had the highest homeroom GPA that has ever been in existence at Bear River with a 3.85 class GPA for the homeroom in Mr. Guerin's homeroom class. So I think it's pretty important that we publicize the fact that it's never been higher in any other class. So great job to all those students in that homeroom. As most of you or all of you are aware, the fire was pretty crazy the other day. And I just wanted to take a quick note to thank all the first responders for saving our school and the houses. A huge thank you to our grounds maintenance staff for making sure our grounds were mowed short. It definitely made the difference where those long weeds ended and our short, I mean, we didn't mow for fire purposes. We mowed for snake purposes, basically, but what a difference it made and you saw the pictures, how close it did come. I know we're all getting a lot of questions about next year, and I'd love to give you a firm answer, but I'm going to tell you right now that everybody knows our plan is to return to a normal schedule next year. Whatever normal is these days. We will not be offering a distance learning model. The state will not be authorizing that, as far as I know, except for those that had it previously in like a high school virtual school or something. So there will be no HBIS program as it sits right now. Now, of course, something could go haywire this summer. I don't expect it will, but it could. And then the other question is the masks, and I don't have an answer about that. We hear conflicting information right now. Too many people are putting their opinions out there. So as of right now, I would say that the employees will probably be coming back with masks. We don't know about the students yet. The word that I've heard is October. But then I was on a meeting today and now they're pushing for no masks when they come back. So let's hope that's what the case is. but I'll keep you posted as I know. State budget. We're going to talk about the budget tonight, everybody's favorite conversation. But remember, it's all based on the May revise that we were that we're giving you tonight. The negotiations are still happening at the state level between the governor and the Senate and Congress there at the state level. Usually they've come to an agreement by now to make sure that it's ready to go by the 30th of June, which is their legal requirement. They are not in agreement yet. I think they're close. So we'll see what happens. I'm not sure they'll meet the June 30th budget timeline, but it should be fairly quick after that. All signs continue to look at a nicer than expected budget for school districts. Open positions, there's been some questions about that. I have a meeting with the admin team and Tara on Monday to look at the district's needs for open positions. We will likely have a number of classified positions open and maybe a couple of teaching positions. The key for all of us is trying to get people to apply, as there's a statewide issue with getting folks to apply, especially for part-time positions. Then I'm going to move on to the attendance report. We had 1,260 students last week when I put this together. 837 of those are TK through fifth grade. 368 are in middle school. We have 64 that finished up the year in the HBIS program. Overall, we're still down 99 students from last year and 6 less than last month. And we have 106 students in the preschool program, which is the same as last month and 22 less than last year. I would expect, based on what we're seeing with enrollment, that we'll garner most of those 99 students back for next school year, given, you know, you kind of base it on what you're seeing in kindergarten and TK, and we're fuller than we've been most years at those grade levels at this time of the year. So we'll see what happens over the next month and a half or so. So that is all I have for the superintendent's report, unless anybody has any questions.
Any questions or comments? Okay. We should also probably announce that all board members are present with the exception of Ish Medina, who is out ill this evening. Can't see. Next is communication from the public. Does the public have any communication?
Like, nope.
Okay, we will move on to the consent agenda. So with the consent agenda, we have the board meeting minutes from May 20th, board meeting minutes from May 27th, the bills and warrants, and the consolidation application part one.
I have a question about some of the bills.
Okay.
Just what they are.
Sure.
Like Amplify Educational. I mean, we paid up to over $300,000 for the different schools for
Amplify
digital
is,
access.
Yeah, that is our new science curriculum that we've adopted for next year.
Is that what
it's coming out of lottery money.
Okay, and is that what the Lenovo ThinkBook is also?
No, that's different. Chad, can you explain that one?
How many of those on that one? Is that the 30 something?
It says 6,000 for non-cap fixed assets. I just was curious as to that. I mean, I just didn't know if we were all moving to digital stuff or what.
Oh, the Lenovo's are the laptops, so they're probably teacher laptops.
Okay. I was curious.
And most of the textbook adoptions, a big portion of them now are electronic.
Right. Yeah. And so my question with this Amplify one, it's like are we using the textbook money?
Yes.
By the digital?
Yeah. This is the adopted curriculum, so
okay.
It's something that had to be gone through the state and approved.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all coming out of lottery funds, which are set aside for textbook adoptions.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, clarifications, or discussion about the consent agenda? If not, I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I have a quick question, Mr. Town.
Yes.
What was your final number for the jogathon?
We don't have the final number because we were still getting the pledges in, but I believe it was about 28,000, some of which we'll be sharing with the company. They provided all the online stuff and all the cute little videos, but basically made about triple what we normally make on a fundraiser. So we were very, very, very pleased with the whole program.
I heard it went well, so I was just curious if you had an end number. Thank you. Okay. We'll move on to action items. 5.1, approval of the agreement with the unrepresented employees.
Okay, so each of these are gonna be a little bit different. So this is with the groups that are not represented by a bargaining unit. So certificated management, classified management, confidential, nurses and psychs are a group, and the Wheatland Charter Academy are a group. So this is the pandemic pay that we talked about previously. $2,500 for full-time employment for each of those groups, which I bring forward to you for approval.
Any further questions on the pandemic pay for this group or comments? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve 5.1.
I make a motion that we approve 5.1 for the unrepresented employees agreement.
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to 5.2, approval of the agreement with the Wheatland Elementary School Secretaries Group, Wes.
Okay, so this one, the only difference, this also has the $2,500 pandemic pay built into it. And then there's other articles that we talked about. Most of them are no changes. We agreed to another three-year agreement, which means that we will negotiate each year unless we have a long-term agreement. And that we did look at the longevities and rebenched the longevities for the secretaries to match the other groups that we rebenched a couple of years ago. It affects one person in that group. It's not a significant cost at all, but it does equalize the longevities to be the same as the other groups.
Any further questions, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve 5.2.
I motion to approve 5.2.
Second.
First and second to approve 5.2. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to action item 5.3, approval of the agreement with the Wheatland Elementary School Teachers Association, WESTA.
Okay, I should say also all these have been approved by their groups, so they've gone through their process. So this is the Teachers Association. We had bargaining sessions. We agreed to a three-year contract. No changes to much of the language. We agreed that retirement options would be a mutual agreement that we would talk about next year. So it doesn't have to be used as a reopener for either side. We talked about the calendar not being negotiable, but they are always welcome to have input. There's the $2,500 piece for the pandemic pay, and then some language changes at the bottom on the second page. For their on-campus day, we've actually put in there the number of hours that they are required to work and that they are flexible, but the total number is not. Then we talked about back to school night. Instead of having a back to school night, continuing to do a digital presentation so all parents can see it at their leisure instead of, if you're not available on this day, you miss it. And then the parent teacher conferences, which I've talked to you about before, redo it or changing that whole way of doing conferences and making sure teachers and parents are meeting often when students are in trouble. In trouble, not discipline-wise, but academically. And then the minimum days that we used to have on the calendar to cover the conferences would move to the days that you see bulleted, which is the Friday. It's basically any Friday before a holiday. The second Monday of October, which is not a day off for us. It's Columbus Day, but it is a day off for the base. So we lose a lot of attendance, so that we put it one there. The Halloween or the Friday before Halloween, if it falls on a weekend, which is good because they always we always have the thing here in Wheatland. And it's also kids are wearing their costumes and whatnot. So those minimum days equal the same number of minimum days that they had previously set aside for conferences. And then what you see, the rest of it is the scratched out language that it used to have to cover those.
So just to clarify, the teachers will just do ongoing meetings with parents and be in touch, and there won't be anything such as a parent conference.
Right. If you, I mean, you remember conferences were like 9 weeks into the semester. By then, a student who was failing has already failed, and it's really hard to bring them back around. So with all of the conferences are antiquated because they were put together prior to email and text messaging and remind apps and all the things that we do. And so it's the expectation, no matter what, whether you have conferences or not, that teachers will be in touch with parents from day one, two, three, if they're seeing problems. So there's really not a reason to have those conferences. And you know, as a teacher, the ones who show up are not the ones that need to show up typically, right? So this is a way to remind teachers that they need to keep in that constant contact with parents.
Just a quick question. When will the employees expect to see the their pandemic pay? Will that be in July?
If you approve all of these tonight, it will be in the June paycheck. That was the intent of trying to get it to here tonight so that we could run it in payroll for June, so they could go into the summer with the money in their pockets.
Into the regular payroll, not a separate check.
Correct. Yeah. Everybody, you know, it's funny. I'm glad you brought that up, Reggie, because a lot of people say, oh, can we have a separate check? If you get a separate check, they tax you at a higher rate than if it's in your regular paycheck. But people think they don't, but they do. It's an automatic, considered a supplemental pay. So they're going to automatically tax you at a higher rate. So it's better when it goes in their paycheck. So that's it for WESTA, and they did approve that.
Any other questions or comments? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve 5.4. Or no, sorry, 5.3.
I make a motion to accept 5.3.
I'll second it.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to 5.4, approval of the agreement with the classified employee CSEA.
Okay, so the only difference here is this is an MOU versus a tentative agreement, and some people are going to go, well, why are you doing that versus a TA? And remember that before we can go in and negotiate with a unit, they have to sunshine, and CSEA never sunshined this year. And so for us to be able to have an agreement with them, it has to be an MOU. Theoretically, they can then sunshine something different for 2021, but it'll probably roll into 21-22. So that's the only difference. It is bringing back the library text like you asked at the last meeting, back to 5 hours, 190 days. It's also moving all of our regular and special ed paras that are lower than 5 hours up to 5 hours. So if there are 3 hours, they'll go to five.
We no longer have 6 hours, is that correct?
We do have six, but we wouldn't move them down to five. So they're staying at six. And we also have a couple five and a halves, so they would stay at five and a half.
Okay.
And then the grounds position, we would replace that effective July 1. That was eliminated this year. So this went through CSEA Sacramento and was approved, and then was approved by our local chapter, our employees.
Rachel Kennedy didn't sign, but she did approve.
Well, because they approved it prior. I put this on the agenda prior to CSEA, but I have a letter from CSEA approving it. She's never signed it. They typically don't. They just send us a letter saying it went through their process. It's the weirdest process ever. We negotiate with our group. She represents them as CSEA. Then see it before our group can actually even take it out to their members. CSEA has to, she runs it through her management at CSEA. They have to make sure that it's approved. They send a letter, then our people can actually approve it. It is the strangest process ever.
Okay.
But that's somehow they got that in there through their policies. If you belong to CSEA, our members cannot agree to something without their approval. So, yeah. Don't get me started on that one.
Any further questions, comments? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve 5.4.
I'll make a motion to approve 5.4 of the agreement with the classified employees.
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Move on to action item 5.5, approve superintendent's contract.
So this is just the addendum to my contract where it adds the additional year due to my evaluation at the last meeting and adds the $2,500 stipend for the pandemic pay. No other salary increases or anything in the contract.
So are you ever going to take your vacation time that you have coming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometime?
Have to.
Any further discussion, questions, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve 5.5. First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We'll move on to action item 5.6, adopt resolution to approve preschool contract number CSPP1677 for the 2021-22 school year.
So this is our annual requirement to bring forward the contract for our preschool. It's a resolution. Rhonda will need to sign it if the board approves it as the clerk. And it is for $598,798 is our earning potential. Does not mean we will earn all of that, but that's our earning potential maximum for our preschool program. And it's based on the number of kids, how often they attend, and how many days, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the same one that comes forward. And this year is the first year in the last three that they haven't cut our earning potential. So hoping that we can earn all that $598,000, but it's a very strange way of funding programs. You have to earn it before they pay you.
Any further questions or comments on 5.6? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve 5.6.
I move we approve 5.6.
I'll second it.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to an informational discussion item, public hearing for the 2021 LCAP report.
So what you have on this one and the next one are we put out our LCAP ahead of time and we put out the 21-22 budget. You are not by law allowed to vote on it tonight. You have to at least have 24 hours. We actually are giving a week. That's why we have our next meeting on the 17th. I certainly am not planning to read the LCAP to you tonight since it's about 80 some odd pages, but you have it there for your perusal. It is available for anybody that wants to go on it. And then the budget overview for parents is something that's an easier overview on where we spend our money so parents can look at a single page versus the 120 page budget. So I'm happy to entertain any questions that you have about the budget, the LCAP budget parent overview, or the LCAP itself in this particular section. If not, I can tell you that I've worked with our administrators, with other groups, and with the county, and it's very similar to previous LCAPs. We do have in there about six goals. One of them is CTE, and some of the goals are the same that we've had in the past. Plus, it has an update in there. We have to update each year. What did we spend our money on? You approved that for last year at the last board meeting. So hearing nothing on the LCAP, then we will bring it back next week for approval. And I won't go through it again unless there's some change at the next meeting.
guess it's budget review time.
It's budget review time. So we do have a PowerPoint to make it easier to follow along. I'm going to try and stay out of Ron's way over here, but also be able to read what it is. So this is the 21-22 budget. It doesn't matter which one.
Yeah, that way.
That one?
Yeah, okay.
All right. So the 2021 budget presentation. I did the wrong way. So we are legally required to adopt a budget by June 30th. So is the state, but they never meet their timelines. But if we don't meet ours, we're in trouble. So the key is in a budget that it has to reflect the district's mission, organizational priorities, and the LCAP. So the light is terrible. Maybe if I stand back here, I won't be in Ron's way. All right, so this is based again on the governor's budget. And Jody, can you hear me? Okay, because with the microphone up there. The governor has proposed a 5.07 COLA, which means that, which includes the eliminated COLA from this year. So I want to make something clear about that. We had a 2.31 COLA for 2021, but they did not give it to anybody. So they're restoring that, but they're not restoring it back to 2020. So part of the 5.07 is 2.31, and then the remaining, which is 2.76, would be for 21-22. Again, it's not retroactive. The state budget removes the deferrals for February through May of next year, but it keeps the June deferral. The issue with that is that's one of the sticking points for the Congress down in Sacramento right now. They want to pay back all of the deferrals, and they want to not have any deferrals next year before you open any new programs. So that's kind of where the governor's got that TK for all program, and they want all this other stuff done before you open a new program. So we're hoping that actually happens, because we need to get paid back for the deferrals for this year, and we need to not have any deferrals for next year. So we'll see where that goes. Right now, some of the categorical programs are only going to get a 1.7% COLA increase, which would be our nutrition program, our mandatory block grant program. And then there are others that get no COLA. For example, ACES, our after school program, CTIG, our incentive grant, the strong workforce program would get zero COLA. And then transportation has not received a COLA since 2012. I don't know about you guys, but it costs a lot more money to run my car than it did in 2012. And it's the same thing with buses. But they do not, they fund everything based on 2012, but never give it an increase. Then special ed is, based on the governor's proposal, gonna get a 4.05 COLA. So you can see, when people say, oh, it's 5.07, it's not really. You have to take all of that into consideration. It's gonna be less than 5.07 across the board because of those smaller numbers. There is a push right now to move the 1.7 pieces up to 4.05. I don't know if there's a push to the no COLAs to get moved, but although after school they'll probably be adding more money to, because they're going to require, they're going to try to require the option to have students on campus 9 hours a day, with before school, during school, and after school. And then there's the expanded learning and in-person grants, as well as ESSER 2 and ESSER 3 revenues are included in the May revise. Okay? But they're not necessarily going to be included in our budget, because until we see the money, we don't include it. So ESSER 1, we received $152,000. This was a while ago, a year ago. And we have spent that on PPE and distance learning and all of those things that are under the requirement. So that's why it's got a line through it. It's already gone. ESSER 2, we are going to receive $603,365. ESSER 3, which I just signed on yesterday, It's going to require another plan that I will bring to you at some point. And that's 1.3 million. The expanded learning opportunity grant is 866,000. And then the in-person instruction grant, these are both state grants, are 391,000. And then the learning loss mitigation COVID relief, which was 587,000, has been spent on computers and PPE and all those things. The gear and the P98 money, those are, they're smaller amounts, but they've both been spent too. So the ones that have the line through are the ones that came at the very beginning of this year, and you have to spend them or you have to give the money back. So the biggest portion of that 587, 657,152 was the almost $300,000 we spent on our HVAC system to make them COVID friendly, for lack of a better term. So understanding LCFF, it is all based on a grade level funding mechanism. K-3 gets one amount, 4-6 gets another, 7-8 gets another, and high school gets a elevated amount. The idea is it costs more to educate a student because their textbooks and whatnot are more expensive the higher up you go. 18-19 was the final phasing for the target amount, so we are at target based on when this initially came out. They add supplemental and concentration grants for students that are free and reduced lunch, English learners and foster youth. So here's one of the problems we're running into. State, feds, everybody eats for free, right? That's what they're doing this year, and they're gonna do that again next year. What that causes is parents not to fill out the forms to be free lunch. The way that you get your free and reduced lunch counts is based on the parent filling out the form. So we've got this problem of how do we get the parents to fill out a form when they're already getting the lunch for free? And it's not just our problem, it's a state problem, and everybody's complaining about it. We've got to come up with a better idea of how to make that happen. So a targeted amount will include 20% add-on for these populations. So obviously if you were in, pick a place, Granite Bay, you're not getting much of that. If you're in Marysville, you're getting a lot of it based on the social economics of the town. And then each district is unique, so that's what I was just explaining. Some get a lot, some get very little. So encroachment, just so you know what that is, we're spending more than we bring in. So we encroach every year with special ed and transportation. Obviously, because we're not getting the money for transportation. Most district programs are self-supporting, and special ed continues to be significantly underfunded. They are working on that at a slow pace, but I will tell you that our big gain will be economically the amount of money we've been paying the county. We will not pay anywhere near that by taking back the programs. Now, there's a cost to take back the programs, but it's less expensive than paying the county for all the administrative costs that we pay them for. So currently, our special education, we bring in about $866,000 and it costs us $2.6 million. So you can see that's a huge encroachment. This year will be a little expensive because we're bringing in the SDC, so we have to pay money for those rooms to gear them up. But this is what you see every year. A huge encroachment from special education. Now, routine restricted maintenance, we have to spend 3% as a rule on routine restricted maintenance. So, as you can see, that's about $500,000 that we spend on that. That is paying our maintenance guys, all the fixing of the buildings. If we hire an HVAC person to come in and do that, it all gets associated with this amount of money. This came into play years and years ago when schools were falling apart in the Sacramento area and that area. So they put this together and now you have to spend it. Lottery, so we get $199 per ADA for 21-22. 150 of that is unrestricted, and 49 of that is towards Prop 20 instructional materials. This is, again, lottery money is what we use for our textbook adoptions. So where do we get our money? 67% of it comes from the LCFF. You've heard of Prop 98, that's where it comes from. We get about 12% from federal, 15 from other state funding, and then 6% from local funding. So currently, if you were to compare what it looks like for next year versus what it looked like for this year, and it's a very false slide, and I'll explain why in a minute. But LCFF, we're going to get about 5.3% more money than we received in 2021. Federal, it looks like 46% less. Same thing with state, same thing with local. You can see there's a lot lower percentage. What is in the 2021 is all the money that we did receive from COVID and all of that. What's not in the 21-22 is all the money we are going to receive from impact aid and all of that. So these numbers will shift by first interim. So step and column is always a cost, plus any range changes for people that go back to school and get more units. And then, of course, we've added the SDC staff for our county takeback, intervention staffing for targeted populations, the retirement savings that we are required to put aside, and addition of new grants and funding COVID dollars to be added, hopefully by first interim, but we have to know that we've received them before we'll add them. Then we have the budget, benefit contributions. We spend $13,000 on two groups, $12,000 on the other group. The reason for that is during negotiations, some decided to put money on benefits and some decided to put it on their salary. CSEA classified always has a difficult time putting ongoing money onto their benefit plan because they have more part-time people than full-time people, and so they can't get it voted through, and the money is going mainly to full-time people in a sense of benefit contributions. And then looking at the percentages, what we have to pay per employee, if it's on the certificated side, it's about 22%, the majority of that going in STIRS, their retirement. And if it's on the classified side, it's 34%. And again, a big portion of that is the PERS retirement system. So people think, oh, well, the cost might cost you a lot more. Well, their salaries are lower, so 22% is less than 16. What really gets them, you guys saw some of this at the last meeting, I think, where we have a teacher who was a classified employee first, and they get stay on PERS, and now they're making teacher salaries, and we're still paying the 22.91%. So here's the trends on PERS and STIRS. It's a huge differential from 16-17, especially in PERS, up to 21-22, it went up over 10%. And the STIRS rate has gone up about 4.5%. There's no extra money coming in to pay that. So that has to come out of the general fund. And that is all for future retirement for employees. So we have categorical programs. We have the after school program that brings in about just shy of $500,000. Lottery, Prop 20 is $60,000, mental health money, federal and state's about $101,000. Routine restricted, we talked about that, $560,000. Title I, we get about $180,000. That's the one that's tied to free and reduced lunch. Teacher quality, $26,000. Title III, Title IV, TUPE is the tobacco grant. And then the local assistance, preschool, IBEA, and SIP is $277,000. So those are all built into this budget. So where do our expenditures go? The majority of it goes into classified, certificated, and employee benefits, salaries and benefits. So add this together, 42, 24, and 19, that's the majority of our budget goes to those costs. That is not unusual. It's a people business. So our certificate salaries, based on what we see right now, in 2021, we're $7,393,000, and we're projecting $8 million. Our classified salaries gone down a little bit. Our certificated, now that doesn't include some of the moving them to 5 hours, because that's coming out of the other money that we'll be receiving. Employee benefits have gone down a little bit because it's tied to the total amount paid out. And then books and supplies. This is a big one this year because we bought the science option, so it ratchets that up. Other outgoing, we're projecting to spend less. No capital outlay, we're not buying a building or building a school. And that other outgo is less. So you can see that we're projecting less expenditures than we spent in 2021. But again, it's not correct because 2021 includes the COVID money. 21-22 does not include the money that we're going to get and spend. It's not built into the budget. So this is a summary. If you look at it from a standpoint of 21-22, we're expecting 8.6 million. We're expecting to spend 9.1 million. It's a loss of about 500,000. As those of you who've been on the board for a long time know that that will not be the case. Typically, we are off, way off, because we're very conservative on our budgeting. This year, I think, I don't have it now, but in 1920, we had said we were going to be like 1.2 million overspent, and I think we ended up being on the good a little bit. So it just depends on how the year shakes out over time. So what's the components of the fund balance? We have 1.7 million revolving cash. We always keep that in case a check goes bad or something and we have to pay somebody on the spot. We have the economic uncertainties. We're required to put that aside. We have the lottery money, and then we have the categorical restricted balances can only be spent on certain items. Our multi-year, I'm not going to go through all that. We have to do a multi-year, but it's typically just a huge shot in the dark because we don't know anything about 22, 23, or 23, 24. So we just project out what we think it'll be. And then our other funds, charter, they are looking to have an increased fund balance of 30,000. The child development fund has 52,000. Cafeteria fund balance is 47,000, which is good because we don't want it too high because then they stop paying you. Deferred maintenance, we are using some of that money this year for carpeting. We have carpeting starting on Monday at Wheatland L, and then as soon as they're done, they'll move over to Bear River. And I think we have seven rooms at each site. So we're doing a little at a time at those facilities. Cap facilities, 69,000, that's pretty much interest. And then the special reserve capital outlay is 2.7. We are going to use some of that probably to, offset some of the costs that we have in striping, playgrounds or working on the floor at Bear River, those types of things. And then we have $179,000 put aside for retirement benefits fund, which we're required to do. So that's it. Anybody want to go through it again, or are you guys good? Happy to answer any questions that you may have. Again, this is just the budget, and it's the estimated actuals for last year and the budget for next year, or this year. Estimated actuals for the current year we're in and the budget for next year. So there's no action tonight. It's just information. If you think of a question you need an answer to, please let me know and we'll be happy to get you one. It'll come to you next Thursday for approval. So right now you have three items next Thursday. I don't think that's going to change. One is going to be the LCAP approval. The other is going to be the budget approval, and then the other will be, I'll bring the revised calendar with the minimum days moved to what we agreed to tonight. So those are the only three things for next Thursday, unless something comes up between now and then.
Any questions or comments on this informational item? If not, we will move on to board comments. Any board comments?
I'd like to recognize Jody and all the group out there for everything you had to go through for the fire. Well done.
Thank you very much. It was, the team did a great job of getting it together and getting out and taking care of one another. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I heard Bear River also stepped up and kept the kids after school.
Yep.
Thank you.
Well, I think the
good job, Mr. Town, for, you know, just lending that moral support from afar.
Yeah, I think the last one, Ange, was 5:15 when the last one was picked up at your school. About then when we were, yeah, so. So they had kids there for quite a while, obviously, because the parents either didn't know where to get them or they're used to having to leave work and the kid's already home. So the last one that picked up, her mom, if I remember correctly, her mom actually is in communications at Beale, so she couldn't leave during the fire, so she had to wait and come get her as soon as she could.
Okay, with that, we'll move on to closed session. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. My John Henry.